Welcome back to yet another iteration of Behind the Beard, WNC, a podcast where a group of friends get together and we talk about, well, just about anything. Could be any topic, but often it's high school sports, and most of the time it's pretty much high school football. So, and we are finally getting back into football. Golly, it's been a doldrums. The depression I fight through every day, muddling through what is baseball season. I'm sorry for you baseball fans, but that just is agony for me. But anyway, we're finally coming out of it.
Especially if you're a Braves fan.
And man, they had a rough weekend. The Orioles lit them up, I'm telling you. Anyway. But yes, this is a podcast where we talk about various things, and we get together and banter things. And it's mostly for our entertainment, but you know, we hope you're entertained too. And if you're not, sorry, there's obviously other options out there you can listen to, but we hope you like this one. So, gentlemen, it has been a minute since we gathered. Summer's been kind of busy. All of us have been doing various things. Lewis, what did you do this weekend?
This weekend? I don't think I left the house this weekend.
What?
It's the first weekend I didn't have umpiring, so I've been umpiring so much, I think I didn't do anything this weekend.
Well, didn't we go to the racetrack?
Oh, yeah, we went to the racetrack. That's right.
Yeah, we went out and watched Mike do his thing out there at Tri-Cities.
I completely forgot about that. Yeah, Tri-County Speedway. It was a good race. All of them were decent. People went to jail.
Yeah, people went to jail and everything.
Why no big wrecks, though. That was the disappointing, I know, for you guys.
For sure. But, I mean, we got to see somebody get arrested, so it was worth it.
I love the last race where the guy that was leading the front-wheel drive car pretty much the entire race got put into the wall.
The Crown Vic race.
Got put into the wall, and then
he refused to get off the track.
No, they needed to start the fireworks, and he's just peeling out and going all over the place. Anyway, it's entertaining. So anyway, Carson, what about you? What did you do this weekend?
I just celebrated America. I think that was this past weekend. All the dates seemed to run together, but 3-year-old didn't love the fireworks this year.
What?
I don't know what's happened or what's changed, but we're gonna have to probably bring them around probably Lewis's house and hear some gunshots and stuff.
There's definitely gunshots at Lewis's house. No doubt about that.
Yeah, my neighbors don't care for that much.
But Coach Pruitt, are you a gunshots at your house?
No. No gunshots.
Now, I was going to say, not anymore, because I just found out recently Coach Pruitt lives sort of close to me now. So, and I can tell you, he'll have some bears come across. He'll have some bears.
We have one. I've seen it about 4 or 5 days now.
We have to congratulate Coach. He's an honest man now.
Yeah.
He's married. He's a married man.
Married
Congratulations.
Man.
That's awesome. Did you get married on the beach? Is that right?
I did.
Why would you do that?
What, get married on the beach or get married?
Get married.
Well, I found the right one. It took me almost 50 years.
Good for
but,
you.
You know,
good for you.
This last chapter, last phase, I found the right one.
There you go.
Lewis recently engaged, so he's, I think he's also found the right one as well.
Indeed.
Well, the cat's out of the bag, so yeah, we're continuing on with our coaching series, and got the pleasure of having the Irwin Warriors head coach. Rodney Pruitt is the head coach for the Irwin Warriors. And the varsity football team here at Clyde Irwin here in Asheville, North Carolina. He's been with the program since 2016. That was when he was promoted from assistant coach to the head coach after Mike Sexton stepped down. And Coach Pruitt had been part of the coaching staff for 15 years prior, primarily working on defense before transitioning over to coaching receivers in the 2016 season. He's also a PE teacher here at the school, holds a BS in communication from App State. And under his leadership, the Warriors have seen notable success. 2024, they were 10-2 overall record, going undefeated in conference play, 5-0 to win the first MAC title since 2000. This followed a 4-7 season in 2023, showing significant improvement. Pruitt emphasized maintaining high expectations and discipline, focusing on a spread offense, reliant on quarterback receiver chemistry and strong defensive approach. So he's also known for fostering a pretty tough culture, often referring to the team as a brotherhood. And in 2024, he supported senior linebacker Dayton, whose father was battling cancer, by adding a helmet decal to honor him and highlighting Pruitt's emphasis on team unity. In personal support, he's been praised for his ability to adapt strategies such as retooling offense and defense after early struggles in the 2021 season, leading to a playoff berth. Coach Pruitt, welcome. Big season last year.
It was, guys.
Wow.
It was fun.
Man, It was obviously heartbreaking for me being the Reynolds guy, but what a battle that was that last game.
I really enjoyed that game.
Man.
What a game.
It was a great game to coach in. And, you know, we hadn't been on that winning side against them in quite a while. And to do it the way we did it at the end, you know, end of the season for all the gold, the trophy, couldn't write a better script.
It was like storybook, movie ending.
One big question, if Max doesn't go down that last drive.
You know, our defense had settled in.
Mm-hmm.
And we tweaked some things early on. They had the two early scores, and then they only scored one more the rest of the way, and that was on a little jump pass, which we had practiced. But, you know, you don't read a key. But, you know, it's 50-50. I'm not going to say we had it because he's a phenomenal player.
Sure.
But, you know, we lost a player on that too. Our player went down because you want to tackle Max Lowe, so we lost our corner. He had a concussion, so he didn't get to play the first week of state playoffs.
Sure.
But obviously Max's blow to Reynolds and everything he did. Because I thought when Hamrick transferred to Crest and they put him in the backfield and him catching the ball from the gun and really his ability to throw, because he could throw it well enough to keep you honest and spreading out and rolling in the pocket, I was more concerned and worried about them with him at QB than I was before.
You should have been.
Yeah, I thought they were playing at such a high level.
Yeah, when Hemrick was there, I mean,
it was trash.
It was underperforming for sure. And having Max back there,
well, Hemrick didn't fit their culture.
It didn't fit. He hadn't been there the whole time. He didn't come up to the youth league. He came in late. It was tough.
But it's not just hot news from like Coach Pruitt saying this. You know, as we were talking to coaches throughout this, when he made the transfer, it seemed like it was a general consensus that it's like Reynolds could be more dangerous now because now their best player, their best athlete, kind of go throw back to the Rico days where it's like now Max is going to touch the ball every play.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They were only getting Max the ball about 7 to 12 times a game
because there was I don't know if it was with Taga, but it was like eight times a game. It's like you're going to go up and play with Taga and Max Guest in Boone is going to get touch the ball 8 times.
Well, Taga's Coach Hobbit. He's coaching the East-West game, and I'm coaching Shrine Bowl. So we've interacted, and we've been together at some combines and things. And he told me, he's like, I was tickled to death when I saw Max Guest split out at Whiteout. He said, yes, yes.
If you knew how many fans were, like, scratching their heads, like, what's going on?
Yeah. And I just think they were looking for their identity.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Coach Laws, when he left – he breathed. I think the stress level left him because, you know, it is a big-time recruit. And it don't matter. As coaches, we're humans, and you want to showcase the kid because, you know, you want him to get the looks and everything. It's still about team, but also you've got to highlight, and that's the thing where we have to walk on that fine line of, you know, you have your superstars. You got to get touches. You got to get people the ball. And to have two dominant players, D1 prospects, and to sort of, you know, the run and the pass to be balanced, it just wasn't. And, you know, they figured it out. And, you know, we were very fortunate at the end, you know, to win that crown. But it's a tough bunch. Oh,
yeah. What did you say, Mike, 2014 is the last time?
2014, the last time you beat Reynolds, is that right?
With Austin, right?
That's what I saw. Do you think there's a time in between?
No, we Austin beat them. Brown. I think we beat them with Austin.
That was 2014. Was bad. Our grad year.
I think we beat them. Rico Dowdle's sophomore year was the last time we beat them. We played them twice that year. Okay. They got us in the playoffs.
You beat them in the regular season.
We beat them in the regular season.
That's the year you beat them pretty bad in the regular season.
No, that was the year before.
Year before. They all run together.
I know. They
We're do. We're so old. They all run together.
They do. You know, Reynolds has only relinquished that crown twice. Court got him at Asheville one time, and then we got him, you know, in the past 12, 14 years.
So, conference champs.
Yes.
You didn't play Asheville. Would you have beat Asheville? Probably pretty bad, right? Two touchdowns? Is that what you're thinking?
I won't say that, but, you know, I mean, we felt good about it.
Your offensive.
Because when the hurricane hit, that was Asheville week.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So we went through our prep,
right?
You know, and
tough. That's tough.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The storm tough on everybody.
It was.
The seniors had COVID and a hurricane.
Yes. And it was very similar.
Yeah.
Because it just, it stopped.
Mm-hmm. Everything just
and stopped. And I was worried because we were playing at such a high level, you know, and we're going into Asheville feeling good. And all of a sudden, you know, you anticipate, okay, maybe we have to play on Saturday. Maybe we have to play on Monday. And then it's like, this is serious.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and honestly, we didn't know if we were going to get football back. Everybody else, I mean, they were continuing on.
Yeah. The Henderson County schools were still rolling.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And Coach Laws and myself, and I talked to Court, and, you know, Asheville was going to proceed. Buncombe County, I mean, Coach Laws and I actively pushed behind the scenes because we were afraid, because they were not concerned at all. They did not care.
Yeah.
And it's bigger, and
they don't understand how big it is.
You know,
they don't see that picture.
But we had to be cautious, obviously, because they're just worrying about them and footballing. But we had our kids out doing things,
right?
And Reynolds and Coach Craig lost as much as anybody around the area to lose 13 family members, you know, in the mudslide. And that, as devastating as it is, they told you, and Shane said it, and Brian said it, you know, I need my kids back. I need to be around my kids to get the focus off of, you know, all the tragedy. And there's a lot of substance behind that, and people don't get it unless you're just part of this game, and it brings so many of us together. You don't get it.
We brought this up with Coach Laws, too, when this came up with the storm, and the point you're making there. The community needed the games to get back going. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you all remember.
Absolutely.
I mean, we talked about that with Coach Laws when they got back for that first game back at R.L. Dalton, and just the feel in the community was like, thank God, we're back to doing ball. Well, I'm sure you guys had the same experience.
We did. I'm getting cold chills. You're talking about it because we had made, like, we brought in water. The things we had to go through, and it was all worth it, just to get back to be able to practice without water. We had water tanks brought in. We had one of our coaches had done a sump pump so kids could take showers. I mean, it was a process. And we worked hard for those 3 weeks, you know, to do it, because initially TC had gotten water back first, and we were going to play all the games at TC. And all of a sudden, luckily, you know, God looking down maybe, that Thursday, you know, we got water back. So Friday, we were able to play. Reynolds, everybody was able to play at their home stadiums. And, man, you know, we traveled. We were going to TC anyway. I think Reynolds went to North Buncombe. Mm-hmm. But I just remember, and it didn't matter. I mean, I would have played in Statesville just to have these kids to be able to play. But you touched on it. You hit the nail on the head, Pat. The communities needed it. All, you know, just everything stopped, and it was, you know, and we listened to the radio, and that was the communication. We went back 30 years, 40 years, and that was our communication, was the radio, and just connecting everyone together.
We went to the, and I'm glad Lewis had us out, but we went to the ACA Owen game, and I'll tell you, if you would have told me 2 or 3 years ago that one of the coolest football games I've ever been to was an ACA Owen game, I would have been like, that's just not true. that cannot be possible. Well, I mean, you couldn't sit in the place, you couldn't stand in the place, and it gives me chills thinking about, you know, all of the, I mean, they had the first responders around the stadium. It was one of those where We were trying to get there early. You know, Mike wants to get there 2-3 hours before kick.
But Carson wants to get there 5 minutes before the kick.
Well, we're in traffic 2 hours before the kick, just trying to, because you had the main road getting in, wasn't it? And it was one of those things. It's like, while you're sitting there in traffic, because there's only one lane to get in there, it's like, it just kind of brings back, it's like, holy smokes. And then we get over there, and it's just an absolute thriller of a game.
Golly,
I mean, their defense was not said. So
no.
If anybody ever tells you that, you know, what's it like, you know, you're trying to get, how's the defense going to be? Well, you can always say it'll be better than that game, because it was one of those, it reminded me of playing Madden, where it's like with a creative player. I mean, it was 2-3 play drives, touchdown. And it was whoever had the ball last is going to win the game.
Yes. I remember y'all discussing that game, and I remember, you know, what a great for the Valley and them to play each other. They had never played, had they?
They have not.
That was the first time they had played. That's what I thought.
The bad part is they're not playing again in the regular season.
Not in regular season.
It's a scrimmage.
We're going to scrimmage.
Come on, man.
It's still going to be fun.
Are y'all going to wear pads?
They should play.
The battle for the Valley. Absolutely.
Didn't you guys scrimmage someone last year and it was two-hand touch?
That was two years ago. They wanted to play two-hand touch, yeah.
East Rutherford, who is now a fantastic football team.
Yeah, they wanted to play two-hand touch.
Mike was listening to your episode last year. I guess you called 7-on-7 basketball.
Basketball on grass.
and I'm like, what's two-hand touch?
it was horrible. We were booing in the stands. Like, this is bull crap. Because the other team that was there, we were good to hit them and tackle them. East Rutherford, no.
That's all right.
I was listening to last year's podcast, and 7-on-7 basketball on grass. How's 7-on-7 going this year?
Well, June, we played 37-on-7 games in June.
30?
I say June, we didn't get out of school till the 10th.
Yeah.
So the 11th, we went to FCA camp at Lenore Ryan. We played 13 or 14 games there in a three-day span. And then we come back and we have our own. We host them here. And so in a three-week stretch, I mean, it was good. You know your studs, you know your dogs, you know what they can do. You're looking for other pieces and developing depth and who can help you there. And we had some guys that, okay, he's a little different than he was last year. He worked hard in the weight room. You see that, but does that transfer to the field? It don't always happen. But there was multiple kids that I was like, okay, we may have more depth this year at the skill position than we did last year, with the way they competed and everything. So I was pleased with our, because you know what Caden can do, you know, as you trigger man 3 years, he's only getting better and better. And it's that practice of it, the 7-on-7 and us running our stuff, because a lot of teams 7-on-7 wise, you know, it's not what they do.
Right.
You know, they don't throw the ball around, you know, they don't throw it vertical down the field, and they don't stretch you out sideline to sideline. That's what we do. So for us, I mean, 7-on-7, it's developing our timing. So we get something out of it. Defensively, you know, it's not our scheme. It's nobody's scheme defensively, because you're going to expand the box. You don't have to worry about the run. But you can work some coverage type things, and that was our approach. We didn't want to do a 7-on-7 defense, and you know, and take apex out your backers in bracket number two. Well, that's not realistic, you know, and so jamming off the line, and then you can bracket number one. We played our stuff, and we worked on our stuff and seeing what maybe we could do this year with the personnel we have, and so far, I mean, it was beneficial. I thought, we don't have any more, so now it's like I told my linebackers, because I coach the linebackers. All right, 7-on-7's done. There's no 45 drop, get back. No, we're downhill and we're playing run first always. And so it's you get them out of that mode, and that takes a couple weeks, and you get them out of 7-on-7 mode. But other than that, it's good. It's been good for us.
So not 7-on-7 related. You lost a lot of offensive linemen. What's that look like this year?
And that is the question mark. You
had a fantastic offensive line last year.
We did. We had five
big guys.
Yeah, five seniors, five starters. Two were going to college. One more had the opportunity to go to college, but play at that next level. But to replace the chemistry, because they'd been together for a couple years, and to replace that chemistry, and a lot of them had the snaps. That's the single unit on the field. Those five guys, they have to be better than anybody else collectively, because it's not just about one. Those five, you have to work in unison together, whether it's working combos, climbing the backer, point of attack, your pulls and everything, communicating in pass protection, your pass pro. It's crucial. So when you have all that veteran leadership gone, And it started with our center, Coach Brown. He's our O-line coach that coaches for me. His son was a four-year starter. So Caden, during two of his years under center, you know, he had that veteran guy that helped him. And a lot of times, our center called our cadence. He called our snap count versus our quarterback. And that helps with the blitzes and everything, because normally they can tee off on the quarterback, you know, but when it's a center, he sees it creeping up, well, he's going to pause and hesitate. So it's a work in progress. You can't just replace five guys, you know, and we don't want them to try to be somebody else. And we have a couple that have stood out that if we started today, okay, these two were solidified here. But the positive in it, you know, the youth is the negative, but the positive in it, we have bodies. It's not like we're trying to fill four positions with four guys. We may have nine guys to fill four spots. And so to be able to have that luxury, because we don't want our guys going both ways, it's hard. You can do it at the skill. But to play offensive line and defensive line, like, over and over and over, like, you're going to get gassed, and you're going to give up. It don't matter whatever side you're on. You're going to give up a big sack. You're going to give up a big fourth down because you're just tired. It's not that, you know, you can't do the job, but when you're working on 80% in the tank, you're not as good as 100%. So it's us as coaches figuring out the personnel. Okay, is he better suited at the four technique on defense, or is he better suited as our left tackle? You know, and that's on us, and that's what we've got to figure out. And you know, I've got good coaches, and they'll figure that out. But that's where we are with that. But we've got quality kids, and my coaches, I got trust in them and faith in them to put them where they need to be.
And a pro to that is if you got eight or nine guys, you know, that's going to breed some competition, and competition can bring out. Competition Absolutely. Can show you a lot of stuff about character, about this and that. It's like, who do you want in third, fourth mm-hmm. quarter when you're playing Reynolds, and it's a, you know, must-win drive. So,
well, it's all about competing. That's what we want. Yeah. And so when you have guys pushing each other, they're competing in practice.
Every day.
And that's how I treat the weight room. I want them competing. I want to make things as hard as I can when Friday night they've been through harder.
Yeah.
That's my approach, and that's my mentality, and that's what we've done since January, you know, and everybody's going to sing our praises, and everybody blows smoke up their butt and say, you know, you beat Reynolds and you're conference champs. But, you know, we know, like, now you're no longer the predator, or you're no longer, I mean, you are the guy.
Yeah.
You're the hunted. You're not the hunter. You know, they remember what you did. Reynolds remembers. And all those cats, so we're going to get everybody's best shot in our non-conference. So that's been our approach. And I have strained them in the offseason and pushed them probably harder than I ever have, just because I know we still got quality kids, and we still have kids that have been successful, but you can't be satisfied. You can't be complacent, you're going to walk out there. And it don't matter who you play. I've talked about Reynolds, but our league is tough. And if you're not ready to play each and every Friday night, you know, you can get beat. So don't be satisfied. Don't be complacent. That was last year. This is this year. This is a new team. We lost pieces. And you got to strap it on and be ready each and every day.
So a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times you can tell what a coach thinks about his upcoming team based upon his non-conference games. Right? Yeah, I mean, yours looks pretty tough. So you obviously think – I mean, you're not playing Murphy or somebody like that, you know. But –
You've got Mountain Heritage.
Yes.
Is that
West Henderson? We open up West Henderson on the road.
West Henderson on the road. You've got Mountain Heritage. You've got Brevard. You've got at Hendersonville.
And then Watauga.
And you got Watauga, which is a 47-14 record from last year.
Yeah.
So obviously you think your team's going to be pretty good this year.
Well, I think we have the potential to be pretty good. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say, coming off, the worst time to have a great year is in a realignment year.
Oh, sure.
Because teams are like, well, I don't want to play. And I can tell you, teams didn't want to play us. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that I wanted to play this schedule, because there was a lot of no's that I got that they didn't want to play us. And so, you know, it's we settled into this. Now, the Watauga, this will sum it up. We kind of worked out a conference thing because they have six teams and we have six teams.
Watauga plays everybody in the conference.
They will. And that conference, Freedom, we all matched up. Freedom plays Reynolds. St. Stephen's is playing North Buncombe. Reynolds is playing, Asheville's playing Watauga. Yeah. That's how it matched up. Inca's playing McDowell. Well, Alexander Central would not play us. Who else was? South Caldwell would not play us. And
how many no's did you get?
Three in that conference. Like, they told it, well, we'll play TC. We'll play this. We're not playing you. I'm like, so Watauga, that's why, because everybody, if you look at week five, with exception of Asheville in our league, because everybody's going to be open week six.
Right.
I think so. We've got five non-conference.
Yeah.
Everybody's open with exception of Asheville. Asheville's open week five. They're going to play Watauga week six. So everybody in our conference is going to play that next week, but it just happened to match up. But we didn't have an opponent. So Watauga said, okay, I feel bad. Coach Hobbick said, you know, none of them. I thought we had something. And Alexander Central, that's who we were matched up with. Their coach retired, Butch Carter. I called to him. And we played them a couple years ago in the playoffs in 18 when we had a good year. And we beat them. We beat them pretty good. And he's like, it was a worst experience. We didn't want to come up here and blah, blah, blah. And we're not coming. I'm like,
it's beautiful, man, up here. Why would you not want to come?
You know, but it's like
week five. That's still, I mean, that's prime, like, that's prime tourist weather.
That was discouraging.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody matched up and nobody wanted to play us.
Well, all we had heard from every coach was like, how many no's did you get trying to fill a whole schedule? And, you know,
well, and I'm sure Reynolds and Asheville got more no's than us, but
you're the conference champ.
Yeah. But traditionally,
yeah,
sure.
But we got we were right there with them this year, because we got good pieces coming back. And we're going to be pretty good.
It could,
you know,
be.
I'm not going to claim conference championship or anything of that, but you know, I feel good about my guys,
yeah,
and we can compete. But you know, the schedule's going to be tough, and we'll find out. To your point, Lewis, we'll find out who we are going through that stretch of non conference schedule.
And that's always the good thing about that. Like, you figure out, are we going to be a deep run playoff team or not?
Yeah. Well, the two that stand, you know, West Henderson, you know, Paul.
They had all fear and still won the conference.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they battled us. It was a sloppy game on our part, but credit to them for some of that also. But, you know, that's a tough opening round game. And then Heritage, who played in the fourth round, I believe, Corvian, yeah, Community.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for them and Stillin Huff and Mallard Creek's players, you know, they probably beat them. That's another topic. But and then you have Brevard, who played in the Western Final.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so those are back-to-back. Now, luckily, we get them both at home. But that's brutal.
Last year, I asked you what was tougher, your first three, or then you also had Reynolds, Asheville, TC. This year you have a bye week between Reynolds and Asheville. Well, you got Inca. So, and then you got West Henderson, Mount Hitter, and Brevard.
It's the same.
I mean, that's tough.
You know, you have three. And
But that's just why your guys got to be – I mean, you were talking about your guys got to be ready to go week one. It's like in baseball, you're like, I don't want to peak too early. You know, we're going to – you know, we want to be peaking at the right stretch. You know, you do the Robertson way where you play 15 guys the first 3 weeks and then
– We always talk about baseball. I thought this was a football
podcast. I'm just saying.
Podcast.
So it's like he's got to be ready game one.
He does. You're right. I'm just kidding.
But, you know, we talk about it as adults, and we look at that and we get it. We understand it. Kids – Man, it's like Snapchat, TikTok, and then the next thing. They don't look at that. They don't know. They don't even know. It's one game, and you know.
Isn't that funny though? When it's like your kids, like it's like you ask majority of your teams like who you play week five. It's like
I don't know.
Worry about week one. I mean, they're just like
whoever shows up. We don't know.
I don't know. It's Well, you're playing Watauga. Oh, are we going to Watauga? That's a bad bus ride. It's out. Whatever. It's you got.
But you know, and then even our scrimmage,
Burns, right? That's your alma mater.
We have. It is my alma mater. We open with Pisgah. We go to them the first scrimmage, and then we have Burns, who, you know, traditionally, I know what they, you know, Coach Devine there. We 7-on-7 this summer. They're going to be young, but they got some dogs, and it's going to be a challenge for sure.
Are you surprised to see not see Pisgah and Tuscola on anybody's regular season schedule in the MAC?
No.
Why not?
You know.
I mean, those are high-quality football teams. You guys are high-quality football teams. Why wouldn't you guys play?
I mean, we all know. It's the same thing. Robertson coach that told us he had 60 people, 60 teams say no to him?
You know, it's funny. All those teams in that other conference, and we were with them.
The Mountain Eight. We're talking about the Mountain Eight, right?
Yes. You know, two realignments ago, you know, West was with us. North was with us. Can't even remember who. Tuscola was with us. Pisgah wasn't. Pisgah was lower classification. You know, and they could not wait to get out of our conference.
You're right.
And you know, it's just – and it's quality football against each other. But
they're good football teams.
But it's like – and I think – we compare more numbers-wise with those cats than we do. Our numbers have dropped.
Yeah.
Like, we may show, they may say 1,000, but we're having to claim this 100 kids in the community school.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they don't, you know, we have 940 kids in our building.
Could you use those kids?
I mean, technically?
Yeah, technically.
Yes. They're not playing.
I understand mindset and all that. Yeah, I get that. But
yeah, I mean, We're just like the STEM school, and you know, they're not interested in playing football.
Sure, sure.
but we've got to claim them in the ADMs.
Yeah.
You know, but everybody says, well, our numbers is this. In our building at Irwin High School, we're going to have 940 kids.
Fairly similar.
Before COVID, we had 1,400.
I'll trade you.
Before COVID, we had 1,400.
I think Owen's down to like 300.
That 980 is very similar to Pisgah and Tuscola. Very similar.
Yeah, for sure. It is.
And they're within 2 or 3 of each other.
Way more similar than to Robertson.
What's Reynolds now? 14, absolutely. 15?
But I'm not going to shy away. Even, you know, because there was talk when we had that realignment and the big 10-team league, you know, came out and everybody was in panic. I knew it wouldn't stick. But
that was crazy. Yeah,
there was other schools that said, well, I would never play Reynolds, Asheville, like Incom, North Buncombe. They'd never play them. Like, we're going to play them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not – I'm not going to shy away. But, you know, if we can do that and we battle them every single year – and sometimes we take it on the chin, but for them, for none of them, and with the exception of like Paul, you know, West, he plays.
Yeah.
He plays us. But the other, like, you don't want to play any of them?
Not any
of us?
Yeah.
Like, come on now. Well, like,
it's the big four now. It's not the big three. It's the big four.
That's correct.
It's Irwin, TC, Reynolds.
And Asheville.
And Asheville. Yeah. Oof.
Wow. And then everybody else. I mean, then it's definitely everybody else, but your RPI. I mean, I think we've asked every coach. Is there a way that you, Asheville, and what would be the who have we asked about making the playoffs? Could all the teams make the playoffs?
So Irwin is actually
in the 6A?
5A.
We're 5A.
Okay, so 5A. So you're the ones which is so that's North Buncombe
and Irwin
and Inca. Us three, and then in the 6-team league, we're 3-3.
6A is Reynolds.
Okay, so the question, the hypothetical is always like, hey, can Asheville, Robertson, and Reynolds all make the playoffs?
Has a good year.
I would say that if Irwin, where can I place a bet on a future for Irwin to make the playoffs?
That's what I'm saying.
So it's between Inca and North Bond.
I'm telling you.
But now, with the RPI.
Double my net worth.
And how our schedules
don't even get the first round bye guaranteed.
That's right. I know. But the non-conference, because some of the teams wouldn't play, and we're having to play those tougher teams, that does help your RPI.
But isn't there some cases where it's like a loss is better for your RPI then?
Well, they've revamped that system.
Have they revamped it? Okay.
Yes. It used to be the opponent's winning percentage factored in more than your own winning percentage.
Do you have that's the not calculation? The case.
Lewis.
He's right though. It used to be the opponents,
opponents.
Now they've revamped it, and I knew it when it came out, but I haven't looked at it again. But it was now it's like 40%.
Okay,
your winning percentage, and I think it's 40% your opponent's winning percentage, and your opponent's opponents is only 20.
Okay, right?
Whereas before it was like 30.
Yeah, it's like 33, 33, 33.
It was all equal, and it's like...
and now they've reduced that. So, but High School OT put out a thing with the new RPI. How would the 3A playoffs last year, and for us, we didn't change. Okay. When they did all the mathematics and everything, with the new formula, we didn't change.
Yeah.
So, if you play a hard non-conference schedule, and our conference at the top is real top heavy, and it's tough, and beating up on each other. A loss, we don't want to lose, but it's not going to sink you. And I can say this: there's been times when McDowell was in our league, a win against McDowell dropped us versus a loss against Asheville or TC.
Sure, yeah,
we dropped, and so That won't hurt as much now opponent's win percentage because some of them playing weaker teams. You know, I feel I'm okay. I'm 50-50 with the conference champions aren't going to get seeded and everything, but I kind of understand in some of these conferences you have three classifications in the conference.
That's crazy.
Some classifications you have one or two teams.
Yeah.
Well, you may go 2-8.
Yeah,
you know, and you win one conference game, and you're going to be the 2A conference champion in a 2A, 3A, 4A league.
So that sounds like Owen Madison just saying.
That's exactly right.
So the state, they're handcuffed. To make it fair, I think you had to go the route they went.
Yeah.
And just go off of RPI. That's the best. I think that's the best method.
Mike and I have kicked this around a bunch. What about no conferences?
Do we need conferences? Let's just play RPI. We rank them, we go.
They're crazy. And you
I wouldn't have mind about the district, though.
Yeah.
Some of the states do, like Georgia.
With no conferences, it's got to be hard to schedule games. But
it's hard to schedule now, though.
Do we really need them?
And what helps in that regard is non-conference and like, there may be week 8.
Yeah.
And you're playing a non-conference.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, just because of the districts and the way it is. So it allows flexibility in Tennessee and Georgia for those cats.
Yeah.
So I can see it. Now, I'd have to see the whole model and how it shakes up because it might be good for us in West North Carolina, but down east it may not.
Yeah.
That'd be okay.
I don't know.
That'd be all right.
But the state's going
to
be.
It's just tough because, if you didn't have to schedule somebody, it's like I just don't know for certain there'd be a battle for Patton. It's like, would Inca want to –
that's the
dead serious. Would Inca want to play Irwin in football?
No.
Why would they want to play
Irwin? Irwin doesn't want to play Inca in football. It's no good on their RPI.
Yeah, but battle for Patton still. Battle for Patton. It's not a battle. 15 minutes away. I know
it's
that.
It's not a battle, dude. Inca's
trash. But it's like he said. How many years did they take it on the chin from Reynolds? And then it makes it that much sweeter when you to come out on top.
But it's different when it's been 30 years.
I'm aware.
Now, the conference argument, though, that y'all were just talking about, I don't know if it was when we talked Coach Laws, this came up, or we were batting it around, but there was that idea that if you do away with the conferences, you do away with those individual accolades for the kids. Like, you say you're a first-team conference or a second-team conference, and if you're competing now basically against the entire state for those type of accolades.
No, they do the district thing. If you do the district, you can still have the district – little trophy you get at the end of the year. Here you go. Good job.
So first team all district kind of thing, or second team.
Well, and they do that in other sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do the conference because we're in it. But basketball does a district. Softball, baseball do a district, like District 11, whatever that it is.
Sure.
But they do them and they honor those district players and district player of the year.
You can tell Pat's a big participation trophy guy.
I mean, that sounded just like it. But yeah. Then you also wouldn't have the conference championship trophy and stuff like that. But
no, you could have the district.
But you can have the district. There's pros and cons to both. And sure. It's like we said with I think we were talking with Coach Radford, and it's like, he's like, I understand, why this, the smaller schools were wanting to, they petitioned to try and get away from you guys. Cause mm-hmm. It's like, that makes sense. It's like if North Buncombe, they go into every year knowing that there's four games that, it's going to be 50-0 at halftime. And it's like that, that sucks. But it's also like, it's one of those things that if, that they're trying to get the Madisons, they're trying to get the Mountain Heritage, but they're stuck in. They're stuck in this conference.
I'll say this. Buncombe County and our leadership and our powers that be, they're all about keeping Buncombe County together in this realignment. We want to keep – but in that, they don't care about Owen.
That's right.
So we
travel 2.5 hours sometimes.
Exactly. So you're talking about
– on a Thursday night.
And that's what I question. You're saying all this, but – so it's not good for, why are you not fighting for Owen? Why are you not helping solidify this? Because we could have been with them. Yeah, it might be a three classification conference. But
we scrimmaged you guys last year, 7-on-7.
Yeah.
Yeah, who cares?
I mean, it's like, why don't we forget about the Valley?
Right.
Why don't we, they're smaller. Well, they're not. I mean, them and North Buncombe and the – discrepancies. I mean, I think it's pretty equal.
Sure.
I mean, to me. So why is it not good for all of us? If you that's what you stand on.
No, they don't. They really don't. Let's be honest.
No.
I mean, it's all about what's over there.
But I just know.
Let's make sure Reynolds and Robertson are.
Oh, I mean, yeah. As long as Stevie's happy, everything's good.
Well, we just had three kids. The oldest brother, he's graduated, but one's a senior, one's going to be a junior, and they just signed off of them to transfer to Reynolds.
No joke. It's funny. So I do the DAR every year, and I love it when I go up there for them to sign off.
The DAR.
Yeah,
they might as well call it BS is what they should call.
No, but every year when I go up there, I'm like, hey, I got a DAR for you. Well, I'm taking my kid from Reynolds to Owen, and they're like, oh, where's your money? I'm like, oh, no. You guys don't get, they expect everyone's just transferring there. They hate it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was one of my questions. We talked to the first two coaches, Laws and Radford, about the portal. I mean, kids are transferring around. They're going wherever they want to go. How's it affected you positively, negatively? Have you got some guys in? Have you lost some guys? We talked to Coach Laws. He got the quarterback from ACA who threw for, 10,000 yards or whatever. How's that affected you?
Well, the kid I just spoke on, we lost his older brother, didn't play football, but he did, and he would have been a player. And I actually called Coach Laws back and said, when I caught wind that this may happen, and I'm saying, if he shows up, we talked him into playing football. He played, didn't play his freshman year, but he played JV, and it was cut short last year. But he showed the skill set. He's got great hands. He's a basketball kid. But it was funny. He was in an open gym, or he was playing games with Irwin on a Monday, and then Wednesday he was playing with Reynolds. And it reminded me of Ty Johnson a couple years ago.
He did the summer workout 7-on-7.
Same thing, but.
Well, we talked about this last year. Pat almost had a heart attack.
Oh, yeah.
While we were talking about it.
I wish you could have seen our text thread.
Oh, my gosh. He was ready to delete the whole thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Coach.
No, it's all good. I mean, it happens. And we get them, we lose them. For the most part, last year, this past season, and I had to fight to keep one of the starters. That was going to go to Reynolds, and the mom and I, she called me everything but a white man, and then I let her go, and then I just told her what I had done for her son, because it does, and my assistant coaches, they get so pissed off, and they make great points. We may get a kid in, and we have developed that kid, not just as a football player, but the kid has struggled to get to school. Yeah. He struggled with his grades. He struggled with all aspects of life, and we've invested time and energy and effort of whether it be buying cleats and buying food and clothes and nurturing the kid and being father figures and being sometimes mother and father because of the kid I'm speaking on. You know, his mom was locked up. She was away. She was in prison. The dad was on house arrest, and we provided all this thing, and then up, and he was going to go to Reynolds. And, you know, I was like, with my assistant coaches, like, you got to do something. And I went downtown, and the rest is he stayed, and we kept most of our kids. And if we keep most of our kids, okay, we can compete with them.
Yep.
But if we lose those, it doesn't matter. Ty Johnson, when he went to Reynolds, we went 4-7. If we had Ty Johnson on our roster and he not went to Reynolds, we would have been 7-4 at worst. That's what would happen. Because he went all summer long. He was Caden as a freshman quarterback, developing the timing, the vertical threat, the big play capability, which he did it for Reynolds.
Yeah.
But here, it's even more crucial because we throw the ball more than Reynolds.
Right.
And to have a freshman quarterback not have that safety because they linked up all summer long. And it was obvious he was our go-to guy. And then that's gone. Okay. Well, we ended up 4-7. But last year we kept most of them, and we were able to win it.
How do you keep them? How do you keep them?
There's nothing I can do. Like, as we spoke off air, we won the conference championship. We won 10 games.
You're the big dog in the MAC right now.
We were the number one seed.
10-2?
There's nothing else, Irwin High School. There's nothing else I can do. Like, that's as high as you can get. With exception of the state championship, but in all honesty, it would be hard for us to win a state championship. It can be done, but it would be hard. But for us to achieve those levels of it, we take pride in that. But our quarterback and our receiver, who were all-conference and player of the year and all that, they visited Christ School. And there's nothing like, what else can I do? As the head coach, what else can I provide for them? Like, but this is the best it's been.
It has to be sweeter when you beat them and you look over and you're like, you could have been on this side, bud. It's sweet.
Yeah.
It's sweeter, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it
for
is
sure.
Sweeter. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
So 10-2 last year. We kind of skipped over this. Third round of playoffs, West Charlotte. Where did you tell me they would be this year? 8A?
And they are.
They're an 8A football program. You'll be 5A.
Yes. And I knew going in.
That's a tough matchup. We were here. It was negative 17 degrees.
The coldest game of the year.
Yeah.
And they were super fast.
And Lawson was hurt. And that hurt us. Now, would we have won the game? No. But both sides of the ball and what they did, like, he was a non-factor. And I saw it early. They had thrown a little bubble to their sideline. It was on this side. And Lawson was coming down. And he was a sure tackler. And the kid juked, and he didn't have it. He couldn't plant.
Right.
And I knew right then, but I saw it offensively too, but it sort of stood out to me on the defensive side because, I mean, he was our leading tackler from the safety position because we would get him down against them, running sideline to sideline. Now, would we have won if Lawson was 100%? No. But I don't think it would have been as lopsided as it was because he's our guy.
Sure.
Obviously.
Sure.
And he on both sides of the ball. And then, you know, we had some others banged up. And Caden took a big time hit the first play of the game. He pulled it on the zone read. Right read as quarterback. And their stud linebacker lit him up.
Oh yeah.
And Caden even said like it the cobwebs, like I wasn't right for a while. But and, you know, we had a good, successful first drive.
Mm-hmm.
We stalled, you know, on fourth down, but we had a miscue, a mental breakdown, you know, on third down.
But I still think you made the right decision. I mean, it's just you're not going to win that game with kicking a field goal.
No.
And I argued with them. I don't know which one was said it, but they were like, oh, you've got to take the points there. I was like, you're beating West Charlotte, and there are 100 players on the sidelines by taking 3 points.
I'll be honest with you. I was worried they would block it and return it for 6. That's what I was worried.
Sure.
That's why I didn't want to kick. I'm like, Because I got freaks.
And that's what people don't like, just the casual football fan that look at the score and like, oh, it's because the first two drives, you know, extremely competitive football.
Well, defensively, we went
absolutely
three and out
for
the
sure.
first two series. We went three and out.
I know. But and, then like, when fatigue starts to set in, then you got, because your guys, your dudes have to be on the sidelines both sides because they've got their backup linemen that we're like,
that's the difference in 8A and 5A.
Well, they had 70 kids.
They had 70 kids.
You got three guys that are ready to go where, you know, folks around here, we got one great 1A, and then it kind of drops off to the second guy.
Well, and Michael Petty, you know, he ran by everybody. And they had their third string corner in, and he's running with Michael Petty.
Oh,
I'm like, well, like, what can we do?
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, you know, Coach Lusk is up top of the OC. He's like, Coach Pruitt, I don't have the answer.
Yeah,
I don't know what we can call. And you know, you don't give in. You're down 35, and you know it's going to do no good to run the football.
Yeah.
And we're trying to throw it. But when you do that, that's where it can go in the 30s to the 50s real quick.
Yeah.
And that one interception, that cat, I mean, it was unbelievable. Mm. He read it from the linebacker spot. I've never seen that happen. He tipped it to himself, and I'm like.
He did tip it to himself, and I'm like. Oh, and it's like when you're sitting there playing, when you're playing a team, it's like, and we're trying to Google their roster to see where they're committed.
And then that's when the cold sits and like, okay, I'm cold now.
Yeah.
I'm cold.
I'm real cold. For sure.
I want to get in the locker room. I want to warm up my toes.
My hamstring hurts, Coach. Yes. I'm done.
You know, and so if I'm feeling that, the kids, and I knew,
yeah,
you know, and you hate it. We had such a phenomenal year. And if we didn't go up against that juggernaut, we maybe could have played another round.
Yeah.
You know, because – Hickory was tough. I think Hickory and West Charlotte were on another level.
Yeah.
But everybody else, I felt like we were
okay.
And
you guys are, you know, and you're very similar to, you know, a lot of the other coaches around here where it's like you're going to coach the kids you've got. But it has to be sweet thinking, like, knowing that, you know, because what's happened in college has kind of trickled down into high school to where it's like, you've got so many different voices saying, oh, you know, this grass is greener here, this grass is greener here. And then you've got like Caden, you know, you've got your guy coming back and being like, hey, I'm here, you know, let's go do this. It's got to be sweet thinking, you know, for you to be able to see. We asked Coach Radford, what's the key to, you know, keeping a quarterback for 4 years? And he's like, I don't know. I'll let you know. Like, if you find out, let me know. And I'll find out. I'll let you know. So it's like with you having Caden, you know, Caden coming back, knowing that there was opportunities for him because he's elite. And it's also like it's got to be sweet for the guys in the locker room as well. And for you to like, I don't know, it's one of those things where it's like, it's bittersweet because he's talented. He's going to have opportunities. Just like you go play mid-major. Well, hell, you ball out at mid-major. You don't think your phone's going to ring. Someone's going to be in your ear saying, hey, come here. This is better.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for this year. Not many times you get to see a quarterback that's been under the center, whatever you call him, trigger man, for 4 years. I mean, either way, I mean, got to be preseason player of the year.
Got to be.
Who else? I mean,
Lawson.
Him and Lawson.
Well, yeah. If Lawson was not, and I'll be honest, like Lawson is, he's just a freak.
Yeah.
I mean, he went to the 247 combine. And he did it at the Shrine Bowl combine as well. Laser 40. He ran a 4.47 and a 4.48. Laser.
Ooh, that's moving.
Now,
that's,
yeah,
Carson,
moving.
Did you run a 4.47?
No, but I tell you, I saw, what was it, Walker Bryson at Raven Gap, the Bryson brother that's committed to Miami. I saw him return a kick, and I looked him up, and he was like a 4.4 laser, and I'm like,
against
that's
grad school?
Fast. That's as fast as I've ever seen in my life.
And I knew it, you know, because I had all those combine data results we go through and all. And Lawson was second in all of them. The pro shuttle, the long jump, the vertical. He vertical 39 inches.
Mm.
I mean, he's like a freak.
Yeah.
He and other coaches, and it's funny, and he's got the offer from Wofford, and he's got the offer from Hampton, and it's funny in this area, and it goes to show you, like, Ashland Reynolds, because they've put more kids out, Wofford was not even coming over here. They'd went to Reynolds and they'd went to Asheville, and Shane and Court told them about my kid and they came over here.
Yeah.
And he went on a visit a week later and they offered him a scholarship. The same thing with Hampton. Hampton's coach, he was at Asheville. Court sent him, well, you need to go see this kid. He came over here to our practice. The next day he called me, he said, yeah, coach, I'm offering him. Yeah. And that's HBCU. And then, you know, it's basically just saying, he was like, yeah, my head coach, we want to get some minority kids, white kids, yeah, into the HBCU. And he fits this mold because he is that much of a dog. He can play. So you got to know, like, if he was like, he can play. That speaks volumes.
Sure. Well, anytime, on the kid. I mean, a scholarship is, it's way different than anything. I mean,
yes.
Wofford's a big deal.
Yes.
I mean, Wofford's a big deal.
It is. And you know, and I think he'll get more.
Yeah.
Rutgers coach texted me on July 4th about Lawson.
Yeah. Happy 4th. How's Lawson doing?
You know, it's like, and that goes to, like, you know, I can't ever put the phone down. If I put my phone down and I'm not responding, then I'm shortchanging my kids. And that's just not me. That's all these coaches that do it the right way. And there's a lot of them that do. It's just a 24/7 job. And the recruiting has changed dramatically. And we don't, Western North Carolina gets overlooked now because the transfer portal, I mean, they're hitting them up. And it's the Western Carolina. Like, I can't believe Western Carolina has not offered Lawson Reynolds. It blows my mind that they
at one time they were all transfer portal.
Yeah. And now, I mean, they're Florida, Georgia, but it's funny. Their director of high school relations, well, he's gonna send out a text to all of us coaches or an email, like, well, we're gonna get in and we're gonna recruit Western North Carolina. Well, this is arguably the best player. And like, you know, were at the combine. You've talked to me. And you hadn't offered. But a school, I don't know, 70 miles south, yeah, in the place in your conference, they have. And he's in your backyard.
Mm. Yeah.
And you want to get, like, to me, they're recruiting. Yes, I know they may not win with a full roster of Western North Carolina guys, but you could take four a year.
Oh,
you could take four of the best a year at Western. You're going to boost the crowd. And the homegrown kids,
oh, for sure.
To me, it's a no-brainer. But, hey, maybe that's why I sit in this seat, and they're bigger than me, and I'm a little peon. But
maybe you should be the Western coach. It sounds like you got good ideas.
No.
Well, we were talking about this with the Christ School football coach, and, you know, he said he had like 180-something colleges come through there. And most of those colleges were only going there because they're not going to take a 2.5-hour drive to Robbinsville. You know,
and
over here
in Charlotte, it's so much easier because there's 30 schools within, right, 30 minutes.
Exactly. So he was talking about how there's kids in Western North Carolina could definitely represent in college.
Yes.
But the recruiters aren't making the effort.
Well, and Mountain Heritage, they have a great player in Cason Jones.
Ooh, so he played
great
baseball.
Player.
Fantastic.
Yes, he is a great player. And there's every school that come. I mentioned that kid. And Elon was one of the coaches that was at our combine. And I like the kid. I think he's got a chance to make the Shrine Bowl.
Yeah.
Him and Lawson both have a good chance to make the Shrine Bowl. And I was talking to Elon, and it was like, yeah, we like him. We like him. And all of a sudden, you know, they offered, and he committed. And that's big time. Because they don't get any
for
recruiting.
Mountain Heritage to have a Division I, I mean, that's, yeah.
Yeah, and they put out great quality kids,
yes,
that run a system. Sometimes the system hampers because,
yeah,
that system's not ran in college.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, at the bigger levels, obviously, you know, some small D3, yeah, NAIA, they'll still run it. But he was a talent that he got, you know,
yeah,
and I talked to Coach Pope, who just took over for Coach Robinson, and he said, you know, like, can you help me? Like, they're just not coming in, and they're just not here. And I'm like, well, they're not as many here either. But they know, and yeah, we'll get his name out. But I pushed it, you know.
I think
all
that's
of
a great
our,
thing that all the that I mean, you that mentioned
is.
Shane and Court. It's like
we're in the same boat.
That's cool for the listeners to like realize. You know, you're not just looking. You're not, because you understand. It's like, you can't just tell a college coach, hey, Wofford, like, hey, I got this kid. He's a great kid. He runs a 5, 6, 6. It's like, you know, the projectables, and you know, but you also realize that if you tell them about a kid that you know can play at that level or make a difference in that locker room, it's like that may give you, you know, 1% up when you do, when they do come back through here, and you may have a kid in the next year.
Well, we all win. Yeah. Western North Carolina
wins.
It's because we feel slighted, all of us.
Oh, yeah.
And our kids, and we're going to do whatever we can to promote our kids in Western North Carolina. Yeah. It doesn't matter if they're from Murphy to Polk County.
Yeah.
And
because all we hear is how football off the mountain is just so superior.
Yeah,
so,
and they'll go to Cleveland County.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then they won't travel. They won't travel on 26 coming west.
Well,
they'll stop
far.
At Cleveland
it's
County.
It's not that far.
I know. It's not. It's not. I've traveled it to see my fiance for the past 5.5 years. It's 87 miles.
Did you get her up here?
She's here.
Okay.
Let's go.
So, Coach, tell us about the beard. Last year we interviewed you. You had a fantastic full beard. It's gone.
It's gone.
What happened?
The kids, I was going to shave it anyway for the wedding. And you know,
you weren't supposed to say that.
Did the kids know that?
But not really. No,
yeah.
They really didn't. And then they started talking about, okay, Coach, we win 10 games, you got to shave it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then we did it in the locker room.
Yeah.
And not somebody Facebook lived or whatever, yeah. You know, how kids are. And they're like, man, Dave, you look different, Coach. You look
grow that beard back.
But everywhere I go, it's talked about.
So what's the thing? So what are the boys going to come up with this year?
Oh, I don't know.
10 wins. What are you going to
do? What are you going to shave this year for 10 wins?
I don't know. We'll wait on that one. We'll wait on that. But hey, if we won 10, I'd do something.
Yeah.
That'd be something. Hey, we've only won 10 five times, and I've been a part of three of them. Two as a head coach, one as an assistant. So it's a big accomplishment.
Oh, it is. Definitely.
Big accomplishment.
Definitely.
Hmm. So, craziest thing you've ever seen on the football field? We've heard referees with no whistles. We've heard streakers. We've heard all sorts of things. What's the craziest thing you've seen on a football field?
We were playing Inca, and a deer.
Wasn't Lawson.
No. This was a few years. I mean, it shot out of the end zone.
Which school were you at?
We were at Inca.
At Inca.
We're playing at Inca. I mean, that sucker went the full length, baby. Back of the end zone, out the other end, 120 yards, bam. But my offensive lineman, you could, and it was on film, and you didn't see it until you saw it. I mean, and we're just there, and without missing a beat. I mean, he just turns around. He just pulls, you know, there. He's falling just without missing a beat.
Is this
mid-play? And I thought, that was the what?
Was it mid-play he did this?
Well, he had stopped it. The official had stopped it. But he didn't. I mean, it was there's the deer, and he's an offensive line stands on any. I mean, it was.
Of course, he was an offensive line.
I mean, for sure. I mean, come on. I was going to say someone on the field had to think about. That'd be one I could get.
That was a fun moment, but football related wise, and I guess because it's one of my best memories and probably the best single play that I've ever been a part of. We were playing McDowell. And we had
what year
sucked.
We talking about?
It was 3 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
They all ran together, but
they do,
I remember
for sure.
The play. I don't remember the year, but I remember the play. McDowell was. It was about 12 seconds left. We were tied, so they were kicking the game winning field goal, maybe from about 27 yards out, somewhere around there. And they called timeout. They did.
To ice our own kicker?
So, I don't know what they were doing. But I had seen, and I'd set up, we were going to block from the left side or whatever it was. Well, when they called timeout, because you're doing it quick, okay, so you hadn't really set it up. But then I was able to set it up. And I'm like, okay, it was Ty Johnson's junior year. I will remember that. So I put him and Demetrius Graves, I put them on the outside. You know, they're going to step out. There's your two athletic kids. We got to get them blocked. They're both on that side. And then my toughest football player, who's just hard-nosed, I'm like, okay, you're going to shoot C-gap inside the tight end because he's going to step out on them, and you're going to block it. And then, you know, whatever happens after that, whatever. Well, we had I did have one of my athletic guys on the opposite side. I'm like, okay, time's going to run out, so try to scoop and score. Like, so if he blocks it, you're going to be over here, you just get in this position, and you scoop and score. I had the iPad, and we were doing it, and it worked to damn perfection. We blocked the kick. The kid stepped out. We blocked. Nick blocked it. The show stack, he was on, over here on this side. And then, I mean,
he catched in the air off the bounce.
He caught it off the bounce and took off. And we, I'm like, everybody's going nuts.
To win the game.
Yes. Because if we hadn't won that game, we'd have been held out. We wouldn't have made the playoffs. And that year, we played in the second round of the playoffs. We had a shot at Eastern Guilford and got beat. But that's, it flipped just like, I mean, we sucked wow. that whole game. That's when the Ellis kid that transferred to Asheville, he was still at McDowell. McDowell had a pretty good squad that year.
Josh was, solid. Yes,
he was a good runner, and he torched us. I mean, he torched us.
Yeah.
And, but that play will go down, and I'll never. I mean, it,
you
it,
just
it was
drew
tall.
It up, and it just like just happened the, exactly.
I mean, I was running 60 yards. I about pulled both hammies. I mean, it was.
If we could have had a 40 time on Coach Pruitt,
it was great.
I'm sure there's film. we can get a 40 time.
So last year, if we had 8A, do you win the state championship?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I mean, you're not playing West Charlotte, obviously.
No.
Is Hickory still in that, or is Hickory 6A? No,
Hickory will be 6.
Is Hickory 6?
6. Can you beat the 5A guys? I think you can.
Fayetteville is tough. Like 71st played in
the state championship.
I think they're 5A.
Because
I'm coaching with Coach McLaurin in the Shrine Bowl.
Okay. Coach Potts was from 71st.
Okay. Yes.
Matt Reynolds.
And he 100
years ago.
He has a stud running back. I mean, like all the schools want him.
But you had a stud quarterback wide receiver.
Yes.
And a line.
That'd
been
a
offensive
fun game.
Line.
It'd have been a fun game.
That'd have been a fun game.
It'd have been tough. It'd have been their run, stopping their run, and them stopping us passing.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows? It would have been fun to get there.
I remember, so the first Irwin game we went to was Robertson, right? You went,
yep. You're coming back after the hurricane.
Yeah. Your offensive line. I'm like,
it was so impressive.
These guys are huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were blessed. We had all the pieces.
You told us preseason. You said our offensive line is something to deal with, and we saw
that's
them.
Who
we were
I
like,
felt good about going in.
Ooh, they're huge.
Yeah, yeah, they were, and I think people were shocked, you know, when they saw because our skilled kids they're not over. I mean, they're not 6'3" skilled kids,
right?
But you know, line we were pretty solid. I mean, we were 260 to 290 across the board, and 6 foot to 6'3". Probably as big as we've ever been.
Sure.
And, you know, it showed.
And I'll tell you, your trigger man, he's not small either.
No.
He's only
gotten bigger.
He's a big boy.
He plays first base.
Yeah.
I'm like, whew.
Yeah, he's
you're a big
physical.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can also hit the ball.
Yeah.
Yes, he can.
He's a three-sport athlete.
What's basketball?
Yeah, he plays basketball as well.
He's a nice
You got to love that he doesn't want to pitch in baseball because he doesn't want to mess up.
It hurt his arm.
Yeah.
I said, if you not pitch, you're a quarterback. He said, I hurt my arm a few years ago. I'm not willing to do it because I'm a quarterback.
That's got to be Coach Pruitt. I mean, perfect.
Did Coach Pruitt tell you to say that? Just wondering.
You know, I want our kid because a lot of times, I mean, so many kids now, the specialize.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And,
they specialize
and I want
in fifth
our
grade
kids
now.
At the smaller schools, you can relate. Look, like, we have to share athletes. Yep. If we want to compete, across the board, we've got to share athletes.
Absolutely.
We need our best kids playing all the sports.
Yep.
If we want to compete and we want to play at a high level and be successful overall across the board, male and female, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And, but I support all of it. But you have coaches, and there's been coaches here in the past that have said, well, I want you to just play basketball. I want you to just play. And there's some schools, and I'm not going to name them, but I think they would have better athletic programs if their kids didn't specialize.
Tell me North Buncombe wouldn't be better if Trent Clark didn't play multiple sports.
Well, since you brought it up, I will say, because my daughter plays there, and it was funny. I go over there to North Buncombe. I'm watching her play volleyball. The basketball, as I drive in, there's 25 kids out there playing fall baseball, practicing baseball. And then they're having basketball open gym right after the volleyball game, and there's 14 more. And I'm like, this is about 40 kids that don't play football. If they got half of those, North Buncombe wouldn't be where they are.
Oh, half of them.
Right. Half of the 40.
Half of them. I know.
I've seen, and back a few years, Curtis Cagle, when he was coaching, he had gotten, there was the basketball, I can't remember, was it?
Blake Matthews.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because Chase Parker was quarterback, right?
Oh, yeah.
So.
And that was a big deal because I think they had got to like six or seven wins, maybe five or six. But like when I was in high school, you know, it was a senior year, was the first year that any of the baseball dudes tried to play football. Well, we went first two or three years of high school and didn't win a game. We won three games my senior year, and it's like this is what happens when some of the baseball kids. But you're right. It's like when you got 25 kids of baseball on fall workouts, I mean, you can't tell me that those – and I don't know. I just believe that there's a limit to – you're telling me that if you do baseball for three extra months, you're going to go to North Carolina play baseball. That's just not true.
Right.
It's just not true.
Right. But in the near future, Cody Cheek may be the head football coach at North Buncombe.
I think that is a great fit.
Nothing against Coach – I think Coach Hines would be –
I think Coach Hines knows
in the AD role. He don't have many years left anyway. But
none of you guys do except Radford.
Do what?
None of you guys have many years left except Coach Radford.
No, Dinwiddie's going to be gone. Sexton, you know, he's already retired. Myself, Coach Shane. You know,
which Hines knows
with
that,
Carson, everything goes back to baseball. Even though we're talking about football.
But it's just you're bringing it all together. But I'm just saying, it was like when the plan was for us to go to North Buncombe, it's like Trent Clark said, I'm playing baseball. Well, he didn't play baseball this year because we weren't there. It's like, I promise you, North Buncombe baseball would have been better with Trent Clark on the field.
Absolutely.
He's the best athlete in the school.
Yeah.
So it's like he'd have played shortstop or center field and batted leadoff.
Yeah.
And it's like Trent Clark would have mid-major offers in baseball because of his athleticism, where it's like he's specialized. And I've told his dad, I mean, super family. Guess who's offering him basketball? Milligan. Montreat and Milligan. So it's like you're telling me you can't play baseball or football and you can't get Milligan at all.
Does Cheek stay at Asheville and then Court go somewhere else?
Yeah, that's the question. If Court were to get a job, it's
Cheek's
like
Cheek's got a sweet deal.
Court can go anywhere in the
Cheek's
conference.
Not having
you're
to teach.
All retiring.
I mean, Cheek's 12 months and ain't teaching. He ain't getting that in Buncombe County, boys. So what are we talking about here?
And I can tell you, I've heard about his golf game. He's a scratch golfer.
He's straight up legit.
And so I'm golfing in their golf tournament in 2 weeks. And yeah, so is that something that his team's going to be a problem?
Yes. Okay. He's legit.
I can't wait. I know he's going to listen. I can't wait for him.
He can crush it.
Okay.
I can't play with him.
Well,
he's in another level.
He's got more weight to crush it than I do. So what a good dude, though.
But I saw on Instagram he's having a kid, too, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
That's great.
Yeah, that is. But other than that, we appreciate everything. Pat, you got anything?
Yeah, I just appreciate you coming on and talking to us, Coach. It's always a pleasure. And obviously looking forward to seeing what Irwin does this year. It was exciting last year, so certainly looking forward to that.
Hopefully repeat a conference champs.
Well, you know.
I'll be pulling for you.
That'll be tough. That'll be tough. But
are you upset that so the Asheville guys tell – if you guys play Asheville – would you be upset with me personally on a personal level if I picked Asheville?
No.
Okay. All right, good. I just want to get that out because I was asked to make sure to clarify with you.
Nothing is personal.
If I'm an Asheville guy this year, would you take that personal?
If you
and I just – Coach Pruitt's such a good dude.
I want to bring up something. Mike, help me out.
Okay.
Us and Reynolds.
Yeah.
Were you the only one that picked us?
No. I did not pick Reynolds.
I know for a fact you didn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know I picked Irwin. So listen,
I know they kidded you because you were on the bandwagon and
there's a couple coaches.
We're convinced he has a locket of your beard.
There's a couple coaches
that
text me throughout
Mike
the year.
And I was waiting on air. Like dude, nobody else is getting this, but Mike right here.
Mac Champs right there.
There you go, baby.
Max Champs.
That's awesome.
Right here.
Coach Pruitt just gave Mike a Max Champs.
Yes. I've been holding on to that.
Jesus Christ.
The that's whole awesome. Time.
Yes. Right.
Everybody they kidded you about having a red shirt. And
yes.
Hey, now you do. You didn't pay me either.
Listen, you went 10-2.
I did. Well,
right. I was picking the right team. The right team.
Well, Jesus Christ, Asheville better show up this year.
Oh, no, no. Irwin beats Asheville for sure this year.
If he does pick Asheville, that the statistics say that you're probably going to win.
Yeah, I'm not a good picker.
Who won last year?
I can't remember.
Who had the best record?
I'm sure I did.
Mike does the most homework.
Oh, for sure.
I pick off vibes and friendships. And that's
he picks Asheville every week.
I picked Asheville every week, and then I flip flopped, and I was like, but then they all text me. They're like, they won. They were like, you can't pick us anymore. And I'm like, so the rest of the year, it's like, I can't pick them, and I don't want to ruin any friendships. And I'm like, I cost my record. So. But Pat picks Reynolds every single week. So
absolutely.
So if they go 8-4, you're at least Pascal four losses.
Yep. Pat has to. I'm
a fan. I'm in the tank. I'm in. I'm all about
it. His son's graduated. He's off the board.
Oh.
Hey, now I'll say this, though. The Reynolds live stream is getting fired up again. It's going to be Chris St. Ange, myself, and Travis Clayton doing the games again this year. Big changes hopefully coming in the live stream coming up. And I'd like to say, because you guys have said you've had interest in this before, if there are other schools out there that are looking potentially to have broadcasters.
What are you thinking about live stream?
100%.
I mean, a lot of schools doing it, Irwin not doing it.
I don't know if you've ever heard about it, but we're a pretty good team. Steve just won't let me invite back up there.
I'd hire you.
What about the live stream? You guys don't do any live stream. You don't do the huddle. You don't do anything.
It's been discussed and talked about. It has, but that's above my pay grade. In those decisions.
What? You're the guy over here.
Well.
You've been here for 37 years.
Well. They just still don't listen to me, though.
Lewis and I, we'll come call your games.
Yeah,
I'll be the Irwin guy.
If you guys, if there's people out there that are interested in learning more about that, you know, the several of us around this table have come up through the COVID and have learned the NFHS network and the Huddle Network now. Yep. So if you're interested, you know, I'm sure we can probably talk and see if there's something that can be done with some folks that have some experience doing it. So if you're interested, reach out on the Behind the Beard.
We did all the Reynolds stuff during COVID.
Yep.
After COVID, every sport, was broadcast.
Yeah.
Football and basketball.
It was fun.
I will let Matt Carpenter, our AD, I will let him know.
We found out that football,
it's tough.
Not as much happening as basketball.
Yeah, we started off in basketball. We were really good at that. Our first JV game was Mike and I. Dog water, dude.
5 minutes in, I'm like, what do we talk about? There's nothing going on.
It's important to have a good color, man. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Good color, man.
We figured it out.
Helps.
Coach, thank you so much for
joining
us.
Thank you, guys. I enjoyed it.
Are you guys going to be texting all year again?
Yes. Coach Pruitt's going to text me all year. Yes.
As long as we're winning, baby, we're going to keep the streak alive.
In our 3 months, it's like late night. You're having a little bourbon out next to the campfire. I wonder what Mike's doing.
And we know Mike's doing.
Oh, Mike's definitely doing that. We know that.
Whatever.
Well, I know when we revamped our schedule coming out of the hurricane, the storm, you know, I sent you that schedule pretty quick.
And he let all of us know.
Yes.
Yes, I'm the Irwin guy.
You're part of it now.
Right. I'm the Irwin guy. Pat's a Reynolds guy. You're the Owen guy. I'm the Irwin guy.
Just so you know, at every school he's been to, especially his last one, when he comes to football games, he has to have an administrator set with him.
He does. Yes, he does.
Maybe at Christ School I had to have an administrator.
My favorite one, the last game we went to.
Listen, Christ School gets the worst officials.
No, Owen does, but go ahead.
No, they send the best ones to the Reynolds, Irwin, Asheville games, and we get everything else. We get the worst officials at private school.
I don't think so. Owen's definitely down there on the bottom of the list.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's Owen. Probably so.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for coming.
Thanks for coming, Coach. Till next time. We'll be back with hopefully another coach interview down the road.